Dan, thank you. That rousing rendition of Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Appreciate that. Let me, before I begin, say a thank you to all of you who have worked at Brian's house and helped them get settled in over there, and whatever you've done, I appreciate how you have helped Brian and Sandra. They marked a historic occasion this past Tuesday night. They spent their first night in their home up here in Canton. So we would rejoice that they are out of their rental house in Ackworth and residing now here in Canton. So thank you to those of you who have helped Brian. Let me invite you to open your copy of God's Word to John chapter 16. There's an outline on the back of your bulletin. Let me encourage you to yank out a pen or pencil, wet that pen, and get ready to scribble down some notes as we continue our study of the Spirit. This is the farewell discourse that we've been in for the majority of this year has some very important sections related to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is still something in our culture that there is a great deal of misinformation about, or flat out wrong information. So these sections related to the Spirit and how the Spirit works and how He operates, I encourage you to pay close attention to them. They are vital for us as a church family. They're vital for your walk as a follower of the Lord Jesus to know how the Spirit of God works. There was a large section in chapter 14. There's a sermon from weeks ago entitled The Paraclete, and we talked about seven characteristics of the Spirit's ministry on that Sunday morning. If you missed it, I encourage you to go back and pick it up and listen to that. And now here in chapter 16, we're in another very important section about how the Spirit works that began in the middle of verse 4, entitled The Work of the Holy Spirit in the ESV, another important section. We've observed that the advantage of Christ leaving and sending the Spirit in His place. Last Sunday morning, we talked about how the Holy Spirit ministers to unbelievers, His ministry in the world, how He convicts them of sin and righteousness and judgment, how the Holy Spirit kind of acts in the role of Perry Mason, cross-examining the unbeliever on the witness stand, convincing him that his opinion about Christ is wrong. Today we'll see the Spirit in another role. We see His ministry to the church. We see His ministry again in the life of the believer. And here we will see Him take on yet a different role this morning in these verses. So let's read our passage today. It's John 16. Verses 12 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord. May He add His blessing to what we've just read, His inspired and authoritative word. Let me pray for us as we look into this passage today. Our gracious God, immortal, invisible, God only wise, thank You that You have spoken to us by Your Son in these last days. Thank You for giving us Your Word. And we rejoice to know that Your Word is a complete and sufficient Word. We need no other Word, because what You have given us is enough. It makes us complete. And I pray this morning, Lord, that we would be good students of Your Word, that we would be disciples who learn. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit, that the Spirit of truth would teach us today. I pray, Lord, that you would use my words. Help me to speak the truth from your word. I pray that you'd quicken my understanding and my speech as I preach your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be at work to apply the truth in our hearts as we listen this morning. Work among us, Lord Christ, we pray in your name. Amen. It was during the Second World War on an aircraft carrier. It was cruising in the cold waters of the North Atlantic. Six pilots took off from the carrier as light was fading. They were sent on a patrol to search for enemy submarines that were in the vicinity of the carrier. While these pilots were on their search away from the ship, submarines were detected near the carrier. The captain of the carrier issued an alarm. Every light on the ship was extinguished. Eventually, as the light continued to fade, the pilots started to head back toward the carrier, and realizing that the ship was down there, but it was down there in the dark, they radioed the ship, "Give us light, we're about to land, we're coming back home." But because of the ship's own emergency, the radio operator radioed back, "Order, blackout, I cannot give you light." Another pilot picked up his radio and said, "Just give us some light and we'll make it." The operator said, "No light, blackout." And then the third pilot picked up his radio and said, "Give us just one light and we'll land." The operator could do nothing. The ship under the immediate threat, he could not turn lights on. And as a result, a great tragedy took place in the North Atlantic as six pilots were forced to ditch in the icy waters and all lives were lost. On his deathbed, a famous German statesman uttered these famous last words, "More light, more light, more light." Those same words could have been uttered and probably were being uttered by those six pilots, "More light, more light, more light." And perhaps these words were on the lips of the disciples in our passage this morning, "More light, more light, more light." For the disciples, like those pilots, were in desperate need of greater illumination. And Jesus promises that very thing in these verses, more light through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Having described his ministry to unbelievers in the previous verses, Jesus moves on to describe the Spirit's ministry to the church in verses 12 through 15. And there are three features that Christ mentions. We'll look at two of them this morning and come back for the third next Lord's Day. But the two we want to look at, beginning with, is that the Spirit helps believers comprehend the truth. That's the first feature that Christ mentions. The Holy Spirit gives believers eyes to see and understand the truth of God's word. Look at verse 12. Jesus says to his men, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them." Now, the word "bear," unusual phrase to use with truth. It's unusual that Christ used this term and connected it to spiritual truth. Bear refers to carrying a heavy load or enduring something difficult. They could not bear the heat of the day, it's sometimes said. But Christ applies this to truth. You cannot bear or you cannot accept the truth I need to tell you. You cannot receive the divine mysteries I have yet to reveal. And the reason the disciples couldn't receive divine mysteries or accept more truth is because the Holy Spirit had not yet come to live in them. The Spirit was with them in the same way that the Spirit was with believers in the Old Testament, but he had not yet come to live in them. This is an important distinction. That we saw first back in chapter 14. Chapter 14, Jesus says to his men, "You know him, you know the Spirit, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit came to dwell in them excuse me, on the day of Pentecost, remarkable day recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, excuse me. All right, pardon me while I get out a lifesaver here. See if I can finish my sermon by the time the lights... It is not a button, I promise you. Verse 13 indicates that when the Spirit came, then they'd be able to accept the truth that Jesus needed to tell them. Then they could receive the divine mysteries he had yet to reveal. Because verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, it's as if that's the significant shift. Then they'd be able to bear these things. Then they'd be able to accept more truth. Then they would be able to receive divine mysteries. So the first feature of the Spirit's role in these verses is that he would help the disciples comprehend spiritual truth. Their cry of more light, more light, more light would be answered. And this is true for you and I as well. As we mentioned last Sunday morning, not only does the Spirit have to open our minds to hear the gospel when we're unbelievers, without the Spirit's ministry, no one would come to faith in Christ because we are blind to spiritual truth. Excuse me. We see this in 1 Corinthians 2:14, this very important verse in Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. And he says, the natural person, that is the unsaved man or woman, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. It's foolishness. The Word of God is foolishness to an unbeliever. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. They're discerned, understood by the Spirit. And that's, so that speaks to unbelievers. But even as believers, we require the illuminating ministry of the Spirit to shed light on spiritual truth. You've heard me pray for it at the beginning of practically every sermon I've ever preached from this pulpit. Even as those who possess the Spirit, with whom the Spirit lives inside, we need him to open our eyes so that we can see and grasp the truth. Even though the Spirit dwells inside every Christian living in this New Testament era, we need him to work in our hearts so that we can lay hold of Scripture truth and comprehend it. If he is not working in this room this morning, if he is not working through me, if he is not working in you, you will not understand and see the truth in these verses. Paul prays for this very ministry in the early pages of the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, one of his important classic prayers that we read often, listen to the way he prays for believers. This is believers in the church at Ephesus. Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Did you hear that word? May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. As Christians, we know the Spirit has already been given to them. We read Romans 8:9 this morning. Vital verse. Romans 8:9 tells us that anyone without the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. Romans 8:9 assures us that every believer in this New Testament era possesses the Spirit. But yet Paul prays that the Spirit would be given to them. He's referring to this ministry of illumination, excuse me, this ministry of illumination that Christ brings up in John 16, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Unless the Spirit of God works in the room to give us eyes to see the truth of John chapter 16, we won't see it. There's a good illustration of this from the life of none other than Fred Rogers, the longtime host of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Many people don't realize that Rogers trained to be a pastor, had a seminary degree from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, the same school that R.C. Sproul graduated from. Sproul, in an interview, recounts these words about the Spirit's ministry. Years ago, he says, my wife and I were worshiping in a little church with friends of ours. We were on vacation, and I was in the middle of my preaching course at the time. During the sermon, I was ticking off every mistake I thought the preacher, he must have been 80 years old, was making. When this unending sermon finally ended, I turned to one of my friends intending to say something critical about the sermon. I stopped myself when I saw the tears running down her face. She whispered to me, he said exactly what I needed to hear. That was really an influential experience for me. I was judging and she was needing, and the Holy Spirit was responded to need, not judgment. And I would put further that that's an example of the Spirit illuminating the eyes of his friend, but him being blind to the truth. It's vital that when we sit down to read the Word of God, after you've had your coffee, to pray for the Lord to open your eyes to His Word. Anybody can sit down with a cup of coffee, flip open the Bible, and start reading. It's not reading we're after, it's seeing. Jesus, give me eyes to see you. Father, pour out your Spirit anew on me at this early hour so that I can see. Of course, we want to learn the Word, but we're not just after facts. We're after Christ. That was two weak amens. We're after Christ in the Word. Amen. Yeah, but you were prompted that time, so. Before we hear a sermon, we need to pray, more light, more light, more light. Through the week, pray for me. Lord, let Pastor Rob see. Give him sight. Mom and Dad, what a great thing to pray for your kids who know the Lord. Lord, open the eyes of their hearts to see Christ and know Him better. So this is the first feature of the Spirit's ministry. The disciples can't see. They're crying, more light, more light. And the Spirit helps believers comprehend truth through the indwelling Spirit. There's a second feature of the Spirit's ministry we want to look at this morning. That is, the Spirit guides believers in the truth. This is the second feature. Verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, the Spirit carries out the ministry described in this verse in two different ways. The Spirit of God guides believers in the truth in two different ways with two different groups of people. The first way that He guides believers in the truth is through revelation. Verse 13 describes, first of all, the way that the Spirit would reveal the Word of Christ to the apostles. Let's be really clear about that. Make sure we understand what we're talking about. When I say through revelation, I'm saying that verse 13, the primary application is that the Spirit would reveal the Word of Christ to the apostles. I want to show you three things about this revelation. First of all, it's a revelation of the New Testament Scriptures. When the Spirit of truth comes, describes that momentous event in Acts chapter 2, I've referred to already, the day of Pentecost. On that pivotal day in church history, everything changed. When the Spirit of truth comes, again, Christ refers to Him now, I think the third time, as the Spirit of truth, identifying the Spirit as the one who communicates truth. Apart from the Spirit's ministry, we cannot know God's truth, as we've already said this morning. But further, Christ says he will guide you. He will guide you. The phrase describes a travel guide who introduces travelers to an unknown country. It refers to someone who shows the way. It describes someone who will ensure that a traveler reaches his destination. Every once in a while on PBS, on Channel 30 or Channel 8, we like to catch Rick Steves Europe. And so you hear Rick Steves, you know, going all these sometimes really strange places in Europe and fascinating for us to watch, for me to watch. I'm probably the only one who likes it in the house. So if it's not too flippant an idea, what we see the Spirit's role here is, as if you can think of it this way, the Spirit's role is Rick Steves. He's the tour guide. He's showing the way, a pathfinder. Where does the guide, where does the Spirit lead the disciples? What's the destination? It says he will lead them or guide them into all the truth. All the truth. Back there is a reference back up to verse 12. The many things they weren't able to bear, the spiritual truth they were not able to accept, the mysteries they weren't able to receive. Jesus promises the disciples that when the Spirit comes to live in them at Pentecost, the Spirit will lead them into truth, all the truth, those things they couldn't bear at the moment. He would lead them into the truth that would become the New Testament. The Spirit would lead the apostles into all the truth that would form the New Testament scriptures. So how did the Spirit do that? How did the Spirit reveal the New Testament scriptures to the apostles? Well, we've seen before in chapter 14, back there, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things," similar phrase to what we've just read, "and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." This verse here describes the way that the Spirit would help the apostles write the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This verse describes the way the Spirit would help them remember what Christ had taught them so that they could each write their gospel accounts. Going back to our passage today here in verse 13, that could refer to the way the Spirit would lead them to write the book of Acts and the letters of the New Testament. And then look at the very last phrase of verse 13. "And he will declare to you the things that are to come." And that could be a clear reference to the Spirit, how he would lead the Apostle John to write the book of Revelation, things that are to come. He would guide them into all the truth. He would remind them of Christ's teaching, and so they could write the Gospels. He would guide them in the truth to write the Acts and the letters of the New Testament. And he would declare the things that are to come so that the Apostle John could pen the book of Revelation. The word describes this process. Listen to this cross-reference from the book of 2 Peter. His word says there, look at what it says, "No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. The scriptures were not of human origin. The guys didn't come up with it on their own." John didn't say, "Oh, I'd like to write a biography about Jesus." It was the Spirit of God that moved through them. "No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." That phrase, "carried along," is used in the New Testament world to describe the way the wind fills the sail of a sailboat and carries it upstream. That's the idea here. The Spirit is blowing these men along, moving them along as the divine author to write the Word of God. He worked through them. He breathed out Scripture using their vocabularies, their writing styles, their thought processes, but it's the Spirit of God who was the divine author. This verse describes the process of God's Spirit guiding them into all truth. There's another one in Ephesians. Listen to Paul describe it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. when you read this, that is what he has just written about the mystery of Christ, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here again, Scripture describing the Spirit's ministry of revealing truth. This is another cross-reference and demonstration of how the Spirit would guide them into all the truth. The Spirit's work of revelation described in verse 13 is a revelation of the New Testament. Let me show you a second thing about this revelation. It is a complete revelation. Very important for us to see this. It says he will guide you into all the truth. The revelation that the Spirit gave to the apostles was definitive. It was a once for all time kind of thing. The Spirit's revelation to the apostles was complete, and after the Spirit's revelation to the apostles, there was no more revelation. Now, how do we know that revelation ceased with the apostles' writings in the New Testament? Well, the Word of God again makes it very clear that when this New Testament was finished, that's all there would be in terms of revelation. And one place we see this is in Jude 3, that little book where it has this important verse. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Look at that phrase, once for all. Indicates that after the apostles had written the New Testament, nothing further could be or would be added to it. The Spirit's revelation to the apostles and their associates was complete. Well, there's another cross-reference that shows that it's a complete revelation. This is in the book of Hebrews. Listen to these words. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. I simply point out the verb tense, the verb tense of that last line. In these last days, he has spoken to us by the Son. God's revelation through his Son by his Spirit after it had been recorded by the apostles was complete. There would be no more revelation. And let me now take you to what I think is the icing on the cake. This one kind of concludes to me, and I hope you do too, that when the New Testament was finished, that's all there would be in terms of revelation from the Spirit of God. Lastly, we come to the book of Revelation and this important warning at the end where John writes, John speaking for Christ, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. Wow. Don't mess with the book of Revelation. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Now, what does that have to do with the completion of Revelation? Well, this book, let me get you to think with me now. I hope you have been thinking up to this point, but if you've nodded off, think with me again. The book of Revelation describes the entire sweep of human history from the end of the apostolic age to the eternal state. Revelation doesn't record all of history, but it covers all of history. Every event that ever took place somewhere in the timeline of the book of Revelation. You and I here on October 16th, 2016, are still on the timeline of the book of Revelation because it covers history from the apostolic age to the eternal state. Everything falls somewhere in the book of Revelation, even though it's not named. In this warning, John says, no more prophecy. let nothing be added. That means in this age, no more predictions of the future. This book seals it all. This book covers everything. It says, let no more prophecy be added to this book. So in this book that covers the apostolic age to the eternal state, and what a time span that is, John says, no more prophecy. John also, by doing this, he brings revelation, not only the book of Revelation to end, but revelation by the Spirit to the apostles. He brings that to an end too. He says, this is it. This is all. He's an apostle, writes with apostolic authority, brings the Spirit's revelation to an end, as well as predictive prophecy to an end. It was a complete revelation that we have. We need no more revelation, because what the Spirit gave to the apostles and prophets was enough. Finally, let me show you a third thing about this revelation. It is Christ's revelation. I'd like you to see one more thing about the ministry of revelation from the Spirit. It finds its source in Christ. Notice the words of Jesus in the middle of verse 13. I haven't touched on this phrase yet. It says, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. In other words, the Spirit doesn't reveal this to the apostles by himself, on his own authority. Well, then on whose authority would he be speaking? Well, look at verse 12. Verse 12 tells us, I still have many things to say to you. The Spirit, when he would come, would reveal the things of Christ, all the things that Christ still wanted to say. He speaks on Christ's authority. The Spirit reveals the Word of Christ. We can legitimately call this the words of Jesus, as Paul did in Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is what Christ wants us to know, friends. It is a revelation of the New Testament scriptures. It is a complete revelation. All the truth. A very inclusive and sweeping phrase Jesus makes. And finally, it is Christ's own revelation. This is how the Spirit carries out what we're reading in verse 13. It's a ministry to the apostles, the ministry of revelation that he reveals the apostles and the prophets, the New Testament scriptures. Now, there's a second way we see him apply the ministry of verse 13. First is primarily through the apostles, through revelation. But secondarily, it's with you and me through application. It's with you and I. We're the secondary application of verse 13. He will guide you into all the truth. That phrase describes the way that the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to believers on a moment-by-moment basis. This describes the way the Spirit of God applies the Word of God to us on a moment-by-moment basis. The Spirit carries this out with you and me, not through revelation. He doesn't give us new revelation. He applies the revelation we already have. Remember, he will guide you. That's talking about a tour guide, Rick Steves, if you will, who would lead travelers along an unfamiliar way, make sure they reach their destination. Scripture tells us that the Spirit of God is constantly at work in my life and your life to show the way, to influence you, to guide you, to lead you to walk in the truth of the Word. And Scripture says this is a ministry that the Spirit of God continually does. He continually attempts to influence us, guide us, lead us to live our lives in line with God's standard of righteousness and holiness in the Word. Now, let me make it clear. I'm not talking about hearing audible voices from the Spirit. He does this through his word. But listen and look at these cross-references. These are very important. First is the go-to for everyone when we talk about the leading of the Spirit. It's Romans 8:14 that we read earlier. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. What does this verse reveal? This verse tells us, we said earlier, that every believer possesses the Spirit of God. Romans 8:9 can't escape that reality. This verse tells us that God's Spirit not only indwells every believer, but is at work in the life of every believer, constantly leading them to walk in the truth. He is always leading us. We usually associate the leading of the Holy Spirit with making very important decisions, like where you want to eat lunch today, or where you're going to move. I'm being facetious there. Could be an important decision. We associate the Spirit's leading with major decisions, but what this verse tells us is whether you're aware of His leading or not, He's always leading us. You might have a prompting, as people sometimes refer to it, to do something. You may not. Regardless of how you feel, this verse tells us the Spirit of God is always leading us. He is always applying the Word of God to our lives. Let me show you another well-known verse, Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Here is a very important picture Paul paints by the word walk. As you know, Jesus walked around Galilee, Judea, with a group of men following him. That's the picture here. The word walk is used. It's called a peripatetic school. It means a walking school. It means the teacher led, and he had a band of disciples following him. That's what God is telling us the Spirit is like in our lives. He's leading the way, and you and I are called simply to walk behind Him and keep following Him the whole way. We're to be careful that we don't take a turn while He goes that way. We're to continually follow the Spirit as He leads us in the path of righteousness in God's Word, to walk in the Spirit. That's what that means. Follow Him. Stay with Him. Don't let Him get ahead. Moment by moment, He will apply the Word of God to your life. Follow His lead. Then, Galatians 5:25, the metaphor changes again. Here, it's not a walking school, a peripatetic school. Here, we're talking about a military formation. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And I've told you this story before, that in the marching band, I played the bass drum. And as we were practicing, the drum major, or a lot of times the band director, would keep hollering, "Guide right!" Especially when our lines were getting out of shape. "Guide right!" is the cry we would continually hear. It means keep your eye not on this guy, but on the guy all the way at the end. And if everybody kept their eye all the way on the kid in the end, we'd be marching in a straight line. So Paul is saying to us, keep in step with the Spirit. Guide right. Keep guiding right. Keep doing what He's leading you to do. Keep in step with the Word as he leads you to follow it. I'm going to have to stop and take a breath. I'm not done yet. Marching band. Here's another very common reference to the Spirit's ministry of application we don't often think about, from Psalm 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's talking about the Spirit's ministry of applying the Word to us on a moment-by-moment basis. He leads us in the paths of right living for His own glory and His own fame. Now finally, the verses Brian read to you in the call to worship describe the ministry of the Spirit as well, I believe. And Isaiah chapter 30 says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." That's as if the Spirit acts as a voice over our shoulder. You know, it's not your mother, it's the Spirit of God directing your step, guiding you, and leading you. This the Spirit does constantly. He will guide you into all the truth. Listen to our friend Charles Spurgeon describe this aspect of the Spirit's ministry. The Holy Ghost does not reveal anything fresh now. And we've already said that. No new revelation. He brings old things to our remembrance. The canon of revelation is closed. There's no more to be added. God does not give a fresh revelation, but He rivets the old one. When it has been forgotten and laid in the dusty chamber of our memory, He fetches it out and cleans the picture, but does not paint a new one. There are no new doctrines, but the old ones are often revived. And so what does this look like? I've tried to describe it before. I'm still not sure I give it an accurate description of how this works. I can only describe how it works in my life when I'm talking to someone and all of a sudden I want to say something, but I have that pull on my tongue. Don't say that. Even though what I'm thinking is really funny. You've had that happen to you, haven't you? And it might sound different in your ears. It's just keep your mouth shut when the Spirit says it to me. Don't say that. That would be gossip. Or that would be elevating yourself in a sense of pride. Don't say that. Maybe for you, it's the thing you hear, this is wrong. I should not do this. And when you hear that, and I have heard that, you should stop it immediately and flee. Drop it. And I hear this, believe it or not. Yes, I do get off path. I do take a turn. When the Spirit's going that way, I find myself going south, literally and figuratively. Spiritually, I'm going south. I think I'm going the wrong way. I need to stop and I need to backtrack and get on. Have you had that? That's, I believe, somehow what the Spirit's ministry is like to us as He applies the truth minute by minute in this applying ministry, how He leads, guides, directs us according to God's Word. Now, I've gone through these two things. I am so excited to get to the third thing, but it is too much for today, but it is glorious. It is glorious. And we'll come back to the third thing, the third aspect, feature of His ministry next Sunday. But for today, what's the Spirit's ministry like in the life of the church? How does He minister to believers? How does He work in the church? The two features we've seen today is He helps believers comprehend the truth. This is His ministry of illumination. Illumination is a good word if you want to write here. Illuminating, the illuminating ministry of the Spirit. But secondly, we've seen He guides believers in the truth. And He did this with the apostles through revelation. He does this with us through application. That's how the Spirit works in our lives. Lord, we long for the ministry of Your Spirit yet today. Father, may we be careful not to go looking for new words. May we know the Spirit's rigorous application of what we've already got. Your Word says it's complete, sufficient. Let us be faithful to be in Your Word, chewing it, soaking it up, letting it dwell richly in us, as Paul says in Colossians 3:16. And so may we know this moment-by-moment application of the Spirit's ministry. May we follow His lead. May we walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. May He guide us in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Do this work in us, Jesus, we pray. In Your name, amen.